Today is 29 November 2011. This is another OOR workshop. It's an NCBO collaboration with OOR, and we're going to look at the synergies that there are between the two projects. And I'd like to welcome and thank Dr. Ray Ferguson from the NCBO, that is the National Center for Biomedical Ontology, for his presentation on the current state of the bioportal architecture and their plans. Ken, do you have anything to add?
Thanks, Todd. That sounds like a really good introduction. So you go ahead and run the meeting, and then later on I'll take over.
Okay. Well, Ray, I want to thank you for going to the trouble for putting these slides together. I'm sure you have a busy schedule, and we appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get some close collaboration and value for each of us out of this. So if you're ready.
Yes, I'm ready. So first, a couple of notes on this presentation. This is meant to be a fairly informal presentation. And it's maybe 20 minutes long or so, maybe 30. So that will leave lots of time for discussion at the end. But if you have questions about the presentation during, please feel free to interrupt and ask. If you're using the chat window, you might want to note, maybe one of the moderators should notify me. I have a hard time concentrating on two things at once when I'm looking at the slides. So, but feel free to interrupt. And the second thing that I wanted to mention was I very much targeted this presentation to the items that we're working on that I thought would be of most interest to the OOR community. I'm perhaps a little handicapped in that, in that I'm not heavily involved, I would say, in the community itself. I just want to mention that we are working on a lot of things other than what I'm talking about here, simply other ways to use BioPortal. But I won't be talking about those a lot today. I did try to focus. Also, I don't have a great deal of background information on NCBO and BioPortal. I think we did that in our previous talk, and I'm hoping that most people here will already know sort of what BioPortal is and what NCBO is. In place of a slide for that, I'll just say, and you know, the 10-second intro is that NCBO is a project funded by the National Institutes of Health, and we provide essentially a repository for biomedical ontologies. So we've developed a web portal for storing and allowing people to browse and access, download, and use biomedical ontologies. The software that we developed actually doesn't know anything about biomedicine. It can work with any ontologies, and it's that fact that makes it of interest for OOR. Other folks have used our software to load ontologies in different domains. And we have probably 20 to 30 now users of the entire software stack, primarily using BioPortal to load ontologies in other domains. Some folks also use BioPortal software within their corporate firewall because they have certain proprietary information, the ontologies or sort of the use of the ontologies that they don't want sort of leaking out into the world. So with that sort of background information, I'll move directly into the outline of the talk. I have one slide on what our current architecture is, at least that's sort of what I feel are the relevant portions, talking about where we're going to and how that's relevant for this discussion. And then I'll talk about sort of our development plans, what we've done fairly recently, mostly since the last time I was on this call, maybe 3 months ago, as well as what's currently in development now. These are all things with fairly solid deadlines or at least targeted release dates, which are in the presentation. There's some sort of vaguer things I'll talk about in future development, and then there are some things that are really not on our radar at the moment that we get asked about from time to time. And that I thought that the OOR community would like to know that these are not things that we're currently planning on doing. So one of the goals of this call is to make sure that if we are planning on doing something that that the OOR community is interested in, that if we could sort of get the OOR requirements up front, we can at least take those into consideration as we go and build the system. It's also useful to know the areas that we don't see the system moving in the next year or two. If those are of big interest to OOR, we can either talk about doing it ourselves, or that can be an area where the OOR community can sort of jump in with little fear that you'll be developing a sort of parallel system. The idea is to have as much synergy as possible and not parallel development on the same items with sort of marginally different sets of requirements. But there will be some items that are not sort of within the realm of what we're funded to do that you may be interested in doing and taking on your own. So that's the items sort of on the last slide. So I'll move on. So that was slide two. Can we advance to slide three, please, Peter? Okay. This is a cartoon of the current BioPortal architecture. Of note is that BioPortal, the web portal, effectively the user interface that people see when they come to our website, and a bunch of other applications are built on top of this same layer of software, the REST layer. And other applications can do anything they want with the information underneath. Anything that you can do inside the BioPortal, you can also do inside of another application. We have some applications, for example, we have a number of applications on the order of dozens, if not hundreds, of people have built applications of one sort or another on top of our REST layer. Some of those are are sort of similar to BioPortal in the sense that they allow you to browse an ontology or two. BioPortal currently has 300 biomedical ontologies, and we allow you to browse them in sort of a uniform way, but sometimes people, for a particular ontology, they want a very custom browser. So we've had some folks that have done that where they've built an application for browsing their custom ontology.
So, Ray?
Yes?
You did allow for questions during the presentation, correct?
Yes, I did.
There was just one of them. I'm looking at the slide three here, and it's not clear to me at this point what the functionality that BioPortal is providing to support these other applications. Is there a short list you could enumerate for us, or should we wait until later to discuss that?
So I don't have a slide on that. So let me, I can sort of enumerate them from the top of my head. But okay. Effectively, most of the stuff that is available at the REST layer is visible at some level with some sort of reduced functionality inside of BioPortal. So if you go to the BioPortal application and sort of click through the various tabs, you can see the sorts of things that are available. Nonetheless, let me try to sort of enumerate them. You can submit, in the lifecycle and ontology, you can submit an ontology to BioPortal and you fill out some metadata about your ontology, contact information and where we can get the latest version and that sort of stuff. And then it will automatically show up in BioPortal within a few hours. You can search for terms across all ontologies and get matches in sort of any ontology, or you can limit the scope of those searches to particular ontologies. You can browse the list of all the ontologies. We have some metadata associated with each ontology. We calculate some metrics about the size of the ontology, how deep it is, how many of the classes have definitions, for example, what fraction of classes have lots of children and what fraction of classes only have one child, to give you some idea of sort of what the overall structure of the ontology looks like. You can search for terms and you can get details about that term, essentially all of its properties and all of its values. You see its parents and its children. Search, browse. Oh, you can create notes on either a term or an ontology itself. So this is some comment And the idea is that we're sort of trying to foster a collaborative environment here where people can come and they can point out errors in the ontologies or alternate ways that something could be modeled that might be better in a particular environment. And the authors of that ontology can take those suggestions or not and do something with them. BioPortal currently does not have any way to directly change an ontology within, say, our REST API. There's nothing that would allow you to create a class in an ontology, for example. We see
there are no editing capabilities. Is that correct, Ray?
I'm sorry?
There are no editing capabilities in BioPortal currently. Is that correct?
There are no editing capabilities for the ontology itself. We see ourselves as a library and not primarily as an editor. I will talk about editing capabilities later on because we will be increasing our integration with other tools, but we're not providing an editor ourselves. We are providing an environment, and we will be improving BioPortal down the road so that other external editors can integrate cleanly with BioPortal, and then an author might be able to load an ontology transparently from BioPortal, make some changes, and then save it to BioPortal, and then we would see those changes. I will talk about the editing feature down the road because that's one of the feature items on the queue. I talked briefly about the sort of some applications. We also have very simple applications. For example, we provide a set of widgets that would allow you to do search within a particular ontology or even within a particular branch of an ontology to look up terms. And you can use this widget and put it on your web page as sort of a micro application. Then when someone goes to fill out, let's say, a field on your form on your page, what actually happens is behind the scenes, calls are made to BioPortal to search in a particular branch of the ontology so we can provide autocomplete capabilities, for example. Those are the sorts of things that, or at least some of the sorts of things that people have done on the application side. Both external applications and BioPortal itself use the REST layer that I just talked about. The REST layer is the only way to get this stuff down below in the current system. And the stuff down below where things are actually stored can be broken into basically two pieces. One is the stuff, is the area where the ontologies themselves are stored and metadata about the ontologies are stored. And currently, as a sort of implementation historical note, we have two places to store information. And depending on the exact type of the ontology and a variety of other things, when you submit an ontology, it goes either into a Protégé backend system or into a LuxGrid. Protégé is a ontology authoring system developed at Stanford, and LexGrid is an ontology vocabulary system developed at the Mayo Clinic. It's worth mentioning that NCBO itself is a collaboration among four institutions, one of which is Stanford, where I'm at, and the other is the Mayo Clinic. So the Mayo guys are helping us with a variety of things, not the least of which is the LexGrid support. That green box there at the bottom of the page is where the ontologies and metadata about those ontologies are stored. We also have a couple of other boxes down there below, which I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about on this call, but I just thought I would mention. BioPortal can be thought of as sort of having two classes of functionality. One is dealing mostly with the ontologies themselves. Submit an ontology, create a note about an ontology. You can create a review of an ontology, for example. You can browse ontologies and search for terms in ontologies. These are things focused on the ontologies themselves. The second class of things are REST functionality that allows you to do something with an ontology or with terms in an ontology. One of the more interesting uses of ontologies in biomedicine is actually annotating text. And again, so a lot of the text that we deal with is text from biomedicine, but in fact, there's nothing that restricts the system to biomedical text. So we allow you, for example, to take a paragraph of text and submit it to the system, and we will tell you all the terms in all of the ontologies that appear to be some sort of semantic match for terms within that text, where the match could be something as simple as the same string appears as a term name as well as in the text, or it could be something more sophisticated where, for example, we take the hierarchy of the ontology into account, where you might say, for example, have a text that contains the string melanoma, and you submit it for annotation, and you come back that not only is the term melanoma in some ontology matched to that string, but the term cancer in some other in some ontology is matched to that string. And the way that that happens is that there will be some ontology that has melanoma as a subclass, either direct or farther down the tree. Melanoma is a subclass of cancer. So then when melanoma appears, effectively indicating that the document is about melanoma, if you're interested in documents about cancer, we should return that document, or we should return that paragraph. And this sort of walking up the tree allows you to do so. So that actually is making use of the semantics inside the ontology. So the hierarchy cache that's shown here is a database, essentially a set of database tables that allow us to perform that sort of walking up the hierarchy tree very quickly. So that's used for annotation purposes. And the second little box down there that I'll briefly mention is the resource index. There are a bunch of resources out there on the net, biomedical resources that have text that people might want to search for terms and ontologies. The cancer example that I gave just a minute ago. There are publicly available biomedical resources for all publications in biomedicine, for example. And you can search that resource inside a bioportal using our services. So what we've effectively done is we've sucked in that resource. We've made a copy of it. We've annotated against all the terms in BioPortal, and then we make that information available. So then someone can do a search on cancer, and we will actually have sort of figured out in advance which records in the database actually match cancer, either because they contain the word cancer or they contain some a word that indicates the subclass of cancer. So anyway, so this is the current architecture that we have. And just moving on to the next slide, slide four, you can see the primary change that's happening that's worth noting is that we're getting rid of the both the Bourget backend and the LexGrid backend, and we're replacing it with an RDF triple store.
I'm sorry. There was a question on the chat board. It's a question about searches. And the statement says, it seems that Boolean searches are not supported for term searches. Are there plans to support this?
That is correct. We actually use Lucene, which should allow you to do Boolean searches. In fact, I don't believe that functionality is exported. So this is something that we don't actually have a bug on, but if it's a big requirement, it should not be a huge issue to do, because the Lucene backend that does searches, both in the current system and in the plan system, does support the Boolean operation. So it should not be a big deal to export that functionality. I believe the person in the chat window is correct. I don't believe it's currently exported, but I don't think it's a big deal to do so.
Thank you.
Okay. So on to
Ray, Peter here. Can I ask? Yes, I think Lynn, could you? Why don't you unmute yourself and ask the question yourself? Star 7 to unmute. No. Okay.
Okay, so I'm looking in the chat window. If you'd like to, what does it take?
Right. Exactly. I mean, the follow-up question is, I mean, if it's not a big deal, or if it's easy to do, what is the process to actually get that into your queue to get it done?
This is not a huge development effort. So I sort of make a distinction between relatively small things, which in my mind, relatively small things are things that take roughly less than a week to implement, versus larger things. And relatively small things, essentially, if you just ask that, we have a GForge bug tracking system. If you just ask, we can create a bug, and we will prioritize it and try to get it done. Larger items that are sort of substantial development efforts that are not within our current scope would have to be discussed, and we can talk about a variety of ways in which those might get implemented. But in the end, things get done because they end up in our bug and feature tracking queue, and migrate to the top and for priorities.
Great, thank you, and thanks to Trish too. Who sort of answered Lynn on the chat board.
Okay. I see, by the way, my arrows on all these diagrams somehow got mangled. But I'll just keep going. I hope the diagram is readable in spite of that. So on the planned architecture, so we're back on slide 4. We're going to replace the Protégé and the LuxGrid, LuxEVS backends with an RDF triple store. That will be the place where all the ontologies and all the metadata is stored. And as before, both BioPortal and other applications will be able to access that triple store as well as the other things below the line there through the REST interface. What will be new, and unfortunately, at least in the version that I'm looking at, the arrows have gotten mangled, so this is not clear. But in the original version, both BioPortal and the other applications we'll be able to talk directly to the triple store using the Sparkle language. So you will not have to go through the REST layer to get to the triple store. So you can use all the power that Sparkle provides to do sort of arbitrary queries. Let's see. I think that was all that I wanted to mention on this slide. It's worth mentioning, and I'll point out on the next slide, that we have an alpha version of a triple store available, and you're welcome to play around with it. I don't have the URL right in front of me, but I can certainly get it to you. And this triple store has the latest version of all the ontologies in BioPortal, and is updated nightly with the most recent versions. So this triple store has roughly 300 ontologies in it. And we provide direct access, query-only access. You can't write to it, but query-only access. And the only thing you need other than having the URL is you have to have a BioPortal API key to access the triple store.
If you use
your user URL, then you have an API key. Or if you log in or you register to use BioPortal, on your account page, there's a long key that's, 32 digits or 36 digits, I can't remember, or characters. And that is essentially a globally unique identifier. And that key is necessary to access the triple store, but that's all you need. You don't need any other permissions from us.
Ray, this
yeah.
is Todd again,
yeah.
interrupting. On the triple store, how tightly coupled are you going to be to the particular triple store, or in fact, a triple store that you're using?
So we selected the four store for a variety of reasons. Our intention is not to be any more tightly coupled than we have to. Our experience with triple stores so far is there seem to be a lot of features available on different triple stores that are not completely portable. And we found that as we go through the design of how to import biomedical ontologies into four store, that there are some things that don't really work for us So there are, we do have like one or two extensions to, at the back end. For example, this API key thing that I mentioned to you. For that, we haven't actually modified, we don't have any sort of extensions to Sparkle to do that. That's handled outside of the Sparkle language. So we're not modifying Sparkle. The idea is to be as independent of triple stores as possible, but there isn't, frankly, at least based on our experience, there isn't a tremendous amount of, I mean, it's difficult to do 100% portability across triple stores today for most applications. I think that's a fair statement. So one thing that I can think of that has actually come up recently is sort of how much reasoning will a query do when it talks to the triple store. And there are varieties of answers to that question, some of them based on the triple store itself. We feel like we need our preference is for a small amount of reasoning that doesn't hurt the performance, but that gives reasonable functionality. So, for example, the amount of reasoning that we're doing in the triple store is we're essentially doing transitive closures. We do transitive closures in the ISA direction, and we do transitive closures in the property subproperty direction. But we don't do a lot of other reasoning, or we don't do any other reasoning inside inside the triple store. It's likely that there's some way to configure another triple store to do that sort of thing, but it's likely to be somehow different than what we've done with four store. So I hope that answers that question.
Yes, thank you.
I'll move on then to slide five. So those are the things that we've done recently and that we're working on now, as well as my rough guess as to when the item will, if it's not done, when you can expect to see it in production. So recently we've done an ontology recommender. So the good news about BioPortal is that if you're in biomedicine, we have 300 ontologies. That's also the bad news. It's hard to actually find what you want if you don't know what you're looking for. So we have an ontology recommender where essentially you can enter some text that says, I'm interested in this sort of stuff. And the system will do some analysis on terms in that text versus terms in ontologies and recommend ontologies to you. As I mentioned previously with the API key, we now provide access control for ontologies. We have sort of three levels. One is completely public. One is that it's private, and so the person who submits the ontology says this user and that user and this other user can see this ontology, but no one else can. And the third level we call license, although that's a terrible name. And the idea here is that the submitter provides a license, and in order to use this ontology, you as a user have to go somewhere and say, yes, I have a license to use this ontology, and here's my number, and you can record it. And we don't actually validate what that user gives us, but we do record it. So if people ask us about it, we can return it. We can give them the information the users have provided for us. There are a number of biomedical ontologies many biomedical ontologies are completely public. A number of others have various sorts of access restrictions, and this licensed bucket was intended to try to address some of the licensing ontologies that have licensing restrictions, where the license restriction is not enormous up front, where we thought that we could get by with a sort of license model where the user essentially just asserts that they have a license. So that's actually done. We have better support for AL2 than we've had in the past. In the past, if you had an AL2 ontology, it required a lot of manual work. More and more often, we still have a few problems with some AL2 ontologies, but more and more we're getting to the place where AL2 ontologies will load cleanly in the BioPortal. As I mentioned previously, we have alpha support. It's a public alpha support for RDF triple store. The Q3 here is that by Q here is calendar quarter of next year. So by Q3, this will be a sort of in production. We're imagining a long alpha phase, and it will take quite a while, or a long alpha and beta phase. It will take quite a while for us to transition over from the Bergey and LexiVS backends into the Triple Store. So the popular Q theory here is a little optimistic. Q4 might be more realistic, but nonetheless, for the moment, our plans are for Q3. Sorry, I don't know if you hear. I have other phones going off in the background. They're finally stopped. Okay. And right now we're working on, we have a system, we had a student develop a system that essentially did mappings between terms in different ontologies. And this was a way to do automated mappings. And the system was run a couple of years ago with whatever ontologies we had in, but it was never really a production thing. And so we're sort of, we're re-implementing this and making it production quality. And on a regular basis, we will regenerate mappings between terms in different ontologies. So we have 5 million terms, and there's a fair amount of overlap among the ontologies, so that this ends up being a fairly large number of mappings between terms. So we should have both a production system that we can run on a regular basis, as well as an updated version that includes all of the recent ontologies in BioPortal. By the first quarter of next year. Mappings between ontologies is functionality in BioPortal, generic functionality in BioPortal that I forgot to mention earlier. You can also set up manual mappings between terms and ontologies. Those mappings obviously tend to be much higher quality than the automatically generated ones. The automatically generated ones have the advantage of spanning the entire space of ontologies. Much less resource intensive. Continuing on with what I call current development, we're working on, and either in the final release this year or in Q1 of next year, we'll have something which we call My BioPortal, which allows the user to configure the ontologies that they see. So, again, this is dealing with a problem where we have 300 ontologies in BioPortal. Some people only care about a handful, and that's all they will ever care about. And they really don't want to see all of these others, and when they do searches, they don't want them to show up in the search results and that sort of thing. My BioPortal is intended to allow you to tailor the system so that while the system has 300 ontologies, if you only care about 6 of them, then 6 of them are all you will see. A similar item, but which is somewhat distinct is the next one, and this is we'll provide alternate entry points into BioPortal that limit the visible ontologies. So the idea here is that you can hand someone, you can pre-configure a URL and hand someone the URL, and when they hit that URL, even if they're not a BioPortal user, they will see only a subset of the ontologies in BioPortal. That subset is configured at the same time you sort of set up the URL. We haven't figured out exactly how we want this to work, whether an end user would be able to configure such a URL if that would be a sort of a system functionality. But the idea here is that, so the idea of my BioPortal is I'm a regular BioPortal user and I configure the system for myself. The alternate entry points is that there are groups of users who collectively use the same sets of ontologies, and they would like to work off of a given URL that only accesses that handful of ontologies. So this will also probably show up in Q1 of next year. Moving a little farther out, we have some mechanisms now for visualizing ontologies. We have a tree browser for visualizing the inheritance hierarchy. We also have a typical sort of boxes and lines representation between classes and the relationships between classes and allow you to navigate from one to the next and visualize some relationships and hide others. We have that sort of thing in BioPortal now. We're going to have a new version that is hopefully easier to use and clearer and is also not based on Flash. The current visualization mechanism is based on Flash, which causes problems for some people. And actually, that moves on to the next point. We have Flash used, we had Flash used in a variety of places inside a BioPortal. We have already removed some of that usage and replaced it with standard JavaScript and Ruby front end. I didn't talk much about our technology. We use Ruby on the front end and essentially JavaScript and Java on the back end. So we're going to continue at least by Q1 of next year, Other than the ontology visualization stuff, we will have gotten rid of all of Flash inside of BioPortal. And this is the next item is something that we thought of and implemented as the basis of our previous discussion with OOR, and that is for people who download and install their own versions of BioPortal, we have documented essentially how to add and remove tabs so that you can customize the interface as you would like. So this is that, and we have some documentation on this. And the final point on current development is that there is a proposed OLG standard for accessing ontologies and terminologies. This grew out of the laboratory information systems and sort of other biomedical folks. And nonetheless, the mechanism itself, the interface, is not tied, just as BioPortal is not tied to biomedicine, this interface is not actually tied to biomedicine, although that has certainly been its historical use. Anyway, there's a revision of this OMG standard, and it's called CTS2, Common Terminology Services Version 2, and the reference implementation of this, API is on top of BioPortal. The API itself was designed, so our Mayo collaborators are very big into this proposed OMG standard. And one of the inputs to the standard was actually the existing BioPortal API, what you can do with it, the sorts of things that people use. So the reference implementation for CTS2, is on top of BioPortal. In the initial phase, the CTS2 services, essentially the server, calls into the BioPortal REST interface. And this is working now. I think it's very close to being publicly available to everyone. I think at the moment, all that's lacking is documentation and sort of an announcement. But nonetheless, I left it at the moment in the stage of sort of private alpha. I'm not sure that you could find it if you did a Google search. But this will certainly be public in Q1 of next year, if not within the next couple of weeks. And down the road, later next year, they will be re-implementing this wrapper, not wrapped around the BioPortal REST API, but wrapped around the BioPortal Triple Star. So that was the stuff that currently has recently been done or is currently in our queue that I thought would be of the most interest. Moving on to things that are a little farther out where we don't have dates associated with these things, but nonetheless it's worth talking about. I divide these into two categories. The ones that are called definite are the ones, although we have no dates and we're not actually working on them actively at the moment, they were in our grant proposal, so we were committed to doing them. I should have mentioned earlier, our grant is actually for 5 years, and we've just completed the first year. So we're a few months into the second year of the 5-year grant. So down the road, we will eventually move all of our infrastructure into the cloud. And an item that came up earlier is then, we will have a better integration with ontology editors. The one that's most easy for us to integrate with at the moment is Protégé, since it's sort of at Stanford and within the same larger group. But there's no desire to restrict the integration to Protégé, and our hope is that the other ontology editors out there will make use of this functionality and will allow themselves to be more closely tied with BioPortal. An example of where we are today on integration, probably the best example of integration with ontology editors, is the notes functionality. So you can create a note inside a BioPortal, and one of the things you can do is you can request, say, a new term. I think that this class should have a subclass or or a couple of subclasses, and you can give them names and argue that this should happen. Within BioPortal, that ontology does not get changed. But inside of Protégé, there's functionality to allow you to see that note. If you're the author of the ontology, and then you can do what you like. You can accept that that suggestion and make the change yourself or reject it. So that those are sort of things that we're committed to by a grant that we're not working on at the moment. Something that's come up a number of times in the past that we've thought about, that I thought you might be interested in, but I haven't actually done anything about, and we have no schedule, but it does come up a fair amount. We have support for a variety of ontology formats. Obviously, the biggest one is, or the most popular one, I think, these days is OWL, the semantic web ontology format. There's a format that's used by another ontology editor that's used in biomedicine that's called OVO. Gradually over time, OVO is shifting to be sort of a dialect of OWL, but at the moment, it's still distinct, and we read in that format as well. there are a variety of large terminologies in biomedicine that are provided by a system called UMLS, the Unified Medical Language System, or probably server or something. Anyway, there are a variety of large ontologies. Some of them are well thought out and well designed as ontologies. Others of them are pretty much legacy terminologies and things with sort of ill-defined relationships between the nodes. Nonetheless, they're very commonly used. And they are distributed on a regular basis and updated, and they're very commonly used in biomedicine. So we suck those in, and those come in its own format. So we could also imagine sucking in UML, at least the sort of the class specification pieces of UML, and creating a quote ontology from a UML model. We haven't actually done anything on this yet. This is not promised in our grant proposal, but it's something that's come up from time to time, and we're thinking about it, and I thought you might be interested in, so I thought I would put it up here. The last slide, slide 8. Things that I thought are worth mentioning that we don't have any big plans to do at the moment I thought you might be interested in hearing not only what we're working on, but what we're not working on, and what we don't have plans to work on, but I thought you might be interested in. We don't have a lot of work dedicated in the area of workflows. Workflows here is in italics, because anytime anyone mentions workflows, I get a little queasy, because people tend to mean different things. So we have no sort of big plans for a flexible system to allow people to do sort of access control modifications at various points with approvals and that sort of thing, which is what I think of as a workflow model. We have a couple of very minor excursions into the workflow area that is worth mentioning. One is, when you submit an ontology, you can say what its status is, alpha, beta, retired, or in wide use. I think production is the other choice. One can imagine a system built around this that we allow you to say that metadata is collected, it's not used anywhere, and it's retained with the ontology. But one could imagine using that as providing access to ontologies in various states, alpha or public, and restricting the usage to others, and allowing you to march through those states of the ontology based on sort of approvals from various groups and stuff like that. We don't have plans to do that, but we do. Our minor incursion into the workflow area is to provide that status information. Likewise with notes, here there's a little more substance. And the example that I gave earlier of saying that I'm going to make a note on this ontology, I'm going to request a new turn, we do actually allow you to when you say I want a new term, we create that sort of a placeholder for that term and allow you to use that placeholder for the term. We call it a provisional term. We allow you to use that placeholder, and your hope in the long term after creating the term is that creating the provisional term is that the ontology author will create the real term in the ontology, and then your placeholder, there's a map from your placeholder to the to the real term when it finally gets created. The
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Eric Chan had a question about this, and this is about the second or third time you've talked about the notes and discussions and comments. Eric, did you want to unmute yourself and ask your question, or shall I read it off the chat board?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I posted a question on the chat board. The question is, do you plan to use Ontology to reify notes, reviews, and feedbacks that permeate through the biomedical ontology? So you can actually formalize those concepts as ontology and include that as part of the repository itself. So applications can reflect on them. And there is a work under OASIS to define such an ontology. Besides notes, we can have discussion threads and real-time conferences and transcripts of those conferences defined in that ontology. There's work in progress to develop our ontology for that. We have a UML model, object model, but we define it in such a way that it can be represented in R and in an isomorphic way. So we had discussed about using it, consider how it might be used in OOR, but if you can apply something like this in biomedical portal, it'll be easier for OOR to adopt this. That's
right.
My question.
So I'll reduce that to two questions. One is about notes itself, and I believe I would actually need to confirm this. I'm not really up on the implementation of notes, but I believe that there is a class inside of BioPortal for containing notes. So there is sort of an ontology of notes, an ontology of note types inside of BioPortal. It's worth mentioning that BioPortal in the guts, the metadata about the ontologies is stored in the BioPortal metadata ontology itself, which is an extension of the OMD commonly used ontology for storing metadata. And I believe that there are classes that are probably in the BioPortal metadata ontology, but I'm not 100% sure, for notes. As far as the other types of things that you mentioned, so we may already be sort of on the same page there. As far as the other types of things that you mentioned, we can certainly imagine doing them. they aren't way outside of the scope of the project. We don't have any plans to do them now. Other sorts of collaborative development and communication devices, like chat and things like that. So we don't have any plans to do it, but the fact that notes, I believe, is already stored as sort of classes in ontology would at least allow you to expand it cleanly into other areas. So that's all I wanted to say about workflows. As I said, we're not real strong on the workflow area, and we don't have huge plans to devote a lot of effort in this area. We have users from a variety of different sort of domains doing completely different things with the system. They would need completely different sorts of workflows, and coming up with completely generic mechanisms like this, we see as sort of outside of our scope. Common logic, you guys know a lot more about common logic than I do. We don't have any plans to do anything inside of BioPortal with common logic, although I understand that's a big big extension planned for OR. At the moment, other than the UML that I mentioned earlier, we don't have plans to deal with other file or model formats in general. We're not doing much with rules, nor do we have any big plans to. And the reasoning over ontologies that I talked about earlier, our plans for reasoning are very limited to sort of transitive closure stuff that I talked about earlier, transitive closure over classes and subclasses, superclass relationships, and transitive closures over subproperty, superproperty relationships. Beyond that, We leave reasoning to the ontology author themselves. For example, many animal ontologies are created so that the actual usefulness of an ontology does not become apparent until after a reasoner has run over the ontology. But we rely on the ontology author to choose the appropriate reasoner and to run it and to classify their ontology. That's not a game that we have decided that we want to get into. There are lots of issues there that are sort of beyond our scope at the moment. So Ray? Yes.
The question about the reasoning. You mentioned earlier that you have your triple store doing some simple transitive closure. Is the reasoning engine or capabilities a part of the triple store in your architecture, or is it a separate piece?
I'm not an expert on triple stores. We actually did hire an expert on triple stores. But I believe that triple stores in general offer various sorts of reasoning. And how you invoke that reasoning depends on sort of a triple store specific piece of information. Within the triple store, we actually do the reasoning over these transitive closures. So that is actually done inside the triple store. I believe that there are built-in mechanisms in four store handling the subclass-superclass relationship, and I think we've actually extended that at the moment to handle the subproperty-superproperty relationships so that those get handled correctly. It's worth noting that one of the reasons we selected four store, in addition to the fact that we think it's one of the better choices, is that the guy that we hired had actually done development, internal development on the triple store itself for four store. He's contributed back to the main system. So some of the things that he's doing as extensions for us at the moment, actually all of them, are being submitted back and will be part of the standard four store distribution down the road. So the answer is yes. The reasoning over subproperties and superproperties will be done transparently to you whenever you submit a Sparkle query, for example.
Thank you.
By the way, there is a way, I've forgotten now the mechanism, there is a way to turn off that reasoning if you don't want it. A reason why you might not want that is if you're developing a UI where when you get the subclasses, you don't want the transitive closure of the subclasses for your UI. You're trying to build a tree. You only want the immediate subclasses or the asserted subclasses. So you can turn off that reasoning if you choose, but by default, when you do queries, you'll get it. Okay. I'm sure that is the end of the presentation. So I guess if there are other questions, or we can just sort of open things up for discussion about other things that you were expecting to hear in this talk that I didn't talk about, and maybe I can wing it.
Well, thank you for giving a very comprehensive overview and putting up my questions. I do like the slide about the things that are not in your current plans because, in fact, those are some of the things that OOR needs to address. The workflows, the support for common logic, and the ability to support other languages that may not exist yet but will probably be there in the future. And we've actually had rather long discussions about how to deal with rules and what they really are with regard to the notion of ontologies and how they're used in real systems. So, Ken, I'll turn it over to you to lead the rest of the discussion. And Mike Dean, I think, is now on top of the queue for a question.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Ray, thanks very much for an informative presentation. That was really helpful. One of the things we've talked about with the BioPortal folks in the past has been federation between BioPortal instances, and we'd actually done some of my colleagues did a prototype implementation using an earlier version of BioPortal, and I was wondering if that was still on your roadmap or what your thoughts were there.
First, I intentionally avoid the word federation because that's also a word like workflows that means different things to different people. So first, before I say whether or not federation is what we're going to do, I'll have to ask you what you mean whenever you say federation. Are you talking about that I can send a query to machine X and it will sort of transparently get forwarded to machine Y where that information is stored? Are you talking about sort of distributed copies of the entire system?
I think I'm thinking more distributed copies of at least the sort of registry type information. So that basically one could import, say, having a repository that maybe has upper level ontologies, and that could be imported by specific instances, or having a say an organization having their own repository that would say import from BioPortal, but also add some of their own private ontology.
Okay, so on the particularly on the second when people download the BioPortal VM image, there is a mechanism for them very easily to pull. So by default, they get a system that has no ontologies in it, other than I think the metadata ontology that is required to make the system work at all. And we provide a very simple mechanism for them to set up ontologies that are already in BioPortal in their local implementation. Effectively, it's we make a call to BioPortal to find out metadata about the ontology, and we make a copy of that metadata in the local installation, and then that installation has all the information about the ontology. So we do make it easy for you to pull, say, into your local installation behind the firewall, you can pull from BioPortal metadata about ontologies that are in BioPortal, and then obviously to that you may want to add your own ontologies. So for that sort of notion of federation, the support is already there. What we don't have that I'm not sure that you referred to is a notion that this URL contains ontologies about X and that URL contains ontologies about Y. And if you query one of them and you query the X installation or you query a generic installation, we sort of forward those queries to the appropriate instance by looking to see what you're querying about. We don't have a mechanism like that. And the truth is, and we can certainly imagine building something like that. Within the scope of biomed, so the easiest place where you could see to use that is in the domain of biomedicine, BioPortal is the installation, and the domain of earth sciences, this other thing is the installation, and you can do it. You might imagine doing a query of any of them and having it the query forwarded to the right place. Within biomedicine, it's not clear that there's a huge value in sort of duplicating the entire biomedical domain on different servers other than sort of for fault tolerance and that sort of business, which our hope is to address through the cloud mechanism, will be more robust than we are today. So did that answer your question, or that at least show my ignorance of the question? Maybe you can rephrase the remaining piece.
I think that covered it well. And we've been thinking more of, in terms of data copying rather than query forwarding. But the query forwarding is an interesting notion as well. And
right.
So it sounds like you're not planning to, invest to do a lot of new work in that area. So that may be an area where OOR can make some contributions as well.
Right. On the copying issue, it's worth mentioning what you're copying is actually the metadata about the ontology, which includes a URL indicating where you can get the ontology. The actual BioPortal has a built-in mechanism for once a day. It goes out and checks all the URLs for all the ontologies, and if the item has been updated, we download it automatically. And it's that mechanism that's used in this quote federation mechanism, where we copy the metadata into your local installation, and then as part of a regular process, your system will go out and check that ontology and find out that you don't have it, and we'll download it, and it will be kept up to date. But all the processing and parsing of the ontology happens independently on the BioPortal instances. It isn't as if it's parsed once and those results are sent out everywhere. What's sent out is the metadata.
Okay, and I assume that using that mechanism, you can actually direct it to any BioPortal instance, not just the bioontology.org one.
Yes. If that statement is not the case, we can easily make that the case. It certainly should be the case. And I would be surprised if it's not. I don't know that anyone has asked that question before, so I don't know the answer. But I'll assert that the answer is yes, and if you find out otherwise, then we will make it so that it is the case.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Okay, are there any other questions?
Peter here. I guess I'm next on the queue. I just want to thank you, Ray, for a very well organized overview of the state of affairs. Definitely helps us in formulating our strategies as well. And for the slides, my apologies for not noticing that the graphics was mangled up. So if you could supply me a copy of a PDF of the original afterwards, I will try to swap that in.
I was going to do that. The slides that I was looking at from the link on your site, the arrows were mangled
right.
to the left, that it was actually very confusing. So I'll make sure that
absolutely.
I get you.
I don't run Microsoft Office, and I didn't notice that when Office tried to open up the PPTX file, that it mangled up the graphics. I should have been slightly more careful. The other thing is, Ray mentioned about CTS2, and it's unfortunate Michael Gruninger sends his regrets that he couldn't join us at today's session. Michael champions our OOR metadata workshops, and I think four or five of those we have gone through four or five of those, and there's the next one of four of those. The number five is coming up on December 13, during which day, among other items on the agenda, he has plans to invite Harold Sobrick of the Mayo Clinic over to talk about a recent ontology metadata crosswalk study that Harold and colleagues had done, and since that crosswalk included reviewing OMV and CTS2, it should be very interesting to most people who are on this call today. So I would just want to mention that, and hope everyone could mark their calendar and join us again December 13th. Oh, that's all I have to say. So back to the co-chairs. I can see one hand Mike Bennett.
Mike? Yeah, Bennett?
Hi, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Excellent. Hi, so just a quick question I put in the chat as well. I just wanted to clarify, you mentioned the BioPortal metadata ontology, which is an extension of OMV. And I've got an open action to try and firm up some element-level metadata that we've been looking at on our joint EDM Council object management group work. And I was hoping to have that finalized by today. But basically what we're doing is coming up with different kinds of annotations at the level of classes and object properties and so on for things like definitions and historical notes and other kinds of notes, and we're looking at using and extending the SCOS terms in particular, also doubling core terms and some other metadata, So I just wanted to wonder if there's any overlap. I know that OMV itself is metadata at the level of the ontology rather than the term, and I just wondered whether there's any kind of overlap between what could be in the bioportable metadata ontology and the kind of element level metadata that we're trying to extend and formalize from the viscos elements.
We certainly use viscos wherever we can, and moving forward to the triple store backend, we're going to be using it much more extensively than we are now. It's worth mentioning that BioPortal has ontologies of a variety of types inside. There are owl ontologies and OBO ontologies, and these ontologies that come from UMLS. And we sort of paste a uniform layer on top of them at the moment, and we allow you to say sort of which is the property that you have that holds definitions, which is the property that you have that holds synonyms. And you specify this as ontology metadata, and then when people do queries or when we display your ontology in the UI, we make use of this sort of mapping from what you use to sort of an internal bioportal thing. That's the way the current system works. What we're planning on, and we're actually in the process of revising the triple store to do this at the moment, is that with a triple store implementation, we're going to take a slightly different approach. And rather than having bioportal stuff at the top, if you query, if you want to query the system for synonyms, you essentially you get the sort of bioportal synonym property, and that's mapped to the user's properties. We're going to use instead the sort of standard properties where they're available. So, in particular on SCOS, we'll use SCOS pref name and SCOS, or pref label, I'm sorry, SCOS pref label and SCOS alt label to hold preferred names and synonyms. And systems that use those, of which there may or may not be very many, will just work automatically. And those that don't will effectively, will allow you to say, this property holds the preferred label. And internally, we will map that property not to a bioportal thing, but we will actually create a subproperty of SCOS preferred label. And then this is where the reasoning over subproperties comes in. And when someone queries across the system to search on preferred names, for example, all of the preferred names and all the ontologies will map to – they'll actually do a query on SCOS preferred label to get preferred names, and all the ontologies, either because they use SCOS preferred name internally directly or because we've mapped it, will actually satisfy that. So then we're moving in a direction where people can query on standard SCOS Dublin Core, although we don't have any examples at the moment. In any case, standard ontologies, standard metadata for specifying information. So the obvious ones are the SCOS ones that we talked about, definition, SCOS notation, I think, for sort of internal IPs, that sort of thing. So did that answer your question, or what have I sort of wandered afield?
Yes, it did. So, yes, my initial wondering was whether you... we're looking at element level metadata, and clearly you are, and everything you've just said sounds like it directly parallels the way in which we're trying to extend and use SCOS in a standard way as well. So very interesting. Thank you very much.
Peter here, I just have a remark for Mike Bennett. Mike, you are on the hook for the next metadata session as well. Either Michael Gruninger should be contacting you or you him, because we discussed this at the last OR team meeting, which I guess you weren't able to join. Yeah, and Brian Davis, who's on this call, I mean from the ORWG, had made a post on OR forum on the November 22nd, giving links, providing links to Harold and Stuart Turner and Sherry De, Coronado's work, about this crosswalk between OMV and CTS2 is probably very pertinent to what you're working on. And if you haven't had the chance to go through those links, I mean, that would be a good resource.
Yes, thank you. I just noticed that now, and I haven't had a chance to look at those links. So that would be great, because what I don't want us to do in our joint work with the OMG is sort of charge ahead and define stuff which is already defined elsewhere. And I do have an open action to get our intended metadata to Mike, and I was to Michael Griniger, and I was hoping to have that done by today. In fact, we've got a couple of technical things we've been trying to clear up in the profile, and that's held me up a bit, but I haven't forgotten that action.
Ray or Trish would know. I mean, does Harold work actively with the OMG? Because earlier on your slides, Ray, you did mention that CTS2 is sort of an OMG effort.
And I
know sort of Harold is a big fan of that. I mean, now Mike Bennett, I mean, you're also working with OMG. Are you guys on the same team, different team, different effort?
No, we're working within the finance domain task force. So
you're on the finance side of things. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That explains.
Okay. I can tell you, Harold, there were two teams that proposed, when the call went out for CTS 2 proposals, there were two teams that basically submitted. What happened in the end, one of those was Mayo, a group led by Harold and ultimately Chris Shute, and the other is a group at Oxford. And what happened is that those two groups actually merged and formed a single group that came up with a proposed CTS2 standard. And Harold, I think it's fair to say that Harold sort of led that effort creating a standard and submitting it to OMG, and now is working with OMG to move it through the process from proposed standard to actual standard.
Good. Yeah, I'll should be able to catch up with Harold at the OMG quarterly meeting in a couple of weeks' time. So I'm sure try and catch up with where they are with that as well. We are working with one or two of the folks who are involved on the OMG architecture group, like Elisa Kendall, for example. So hopefully we're all in the same direction.
Great.
Yeah.
Before we lose you, because I know you have a hard stop at 10 a.m. Pacific time, if there's no other questions, I want to ask one more myself. So last call for questions from others. Going once, going twice.
Wait,
okay.
There were a bunch of questions that we get during the last OR meeting that's on the session page under purple number 2ZG2. I don't know if we've gone through all of them. Some of them are fairly mundane, like, I mean, what web tools packages Paul Alexander using, things like that. Maybe some of those we could ask on via email. But like a status of export import upgrade process for NCBO appliance, I mean that would be an interesting one. So maybe after you ask yours, all of a sudden we've got plenty of hands now. So back to you, Todd.
Oh, Ken, why don't you ask the question? You've been quiet. Ken? Bukowski, you're top of the queue.
Star 7. Still can't hear you, Ken.
Sorry, I seem to have gotten muted.
All right, we can hear you now, yes.
Okay, all right. This concerns the API. I mean, one key aspect of the architecture is this REST interface. Just how are you specifying the REST interface, Ray?
We actually have a variety of APIs that we can talk about now. So the existing BioPortal REST API is functional, and we use it, and lots of other folks use it. It's extremely, I think it's fair to say it's extremely irregular. There's no, there's surprising inconsistency from one API call to the next. There's no XSD that specifies what the return values are. There are reasons why there's no such XSD. So the current API is documented on a wiki site, and essentially you have to read the documentation there and see what's available, and you have to make the calls and look and see what comes back and figure it out. We realize that's not a very good answer. That's a somewhat embarrassing answer. Nonetheless, with the existing REST API, that is the answer. Moving forward, there are a variety of other things that are going to happen. One is there'll be a Sparkle API, where you can issue Sparkle queries, and get back sort of standard results as you would expect. We see that it will probably be a different set of users, those who know about Sparkle and those who are more comfortable in REST. We don't think the REST API will ever go away, or a REST API will ever go away from BioPortal, even if we provide the Sparkle interface. It's sort of different types of users will use different APIs. So those are two of the APIs. The third API that I've already spoken about today is the CTS2 API. This is a standard proposed API, and there's documentation available. I don't have the URL in front of me. And certainly, we can get it from Herald of the API, both the REST implementation of that API and a variety of other mechanisms for calling accessing CTS2 information. That API, I believe, will support XML's return. I believe it will also support JSON return. There's another API that I haven't talked about and didn't put on my slide that we will probably be, or we will almost certainly be revising the BioPortal API to deal with some of the nastiness that I talked about earlier. We're going to regularize the API. We'll document the return values in XSD for XML return. we'll probably also support a JSON interface. This API is not really intended to compete with the CTS2 API, in part because it has a broader scope, and then it also covers the annotation and resource index stuff that I talked about earlier. It doesn't have some of the restrictions and concerns that were key in sort of formatting the CTS2 API. So it will still be a custom BioPortal API, but it will be a more regular and well-documented API. So that's future, probably in the next, or almost certainly in the next calendar year. There will be these sort of three other standard mechanisms for accessing BioPortal. There'll be Sparkle, there'll be CTS2, there'll be a revision of the BioPortal API. Currently, the mechanism is our current REST API, which I don't want to be too harsh. It is usable. People have done great things with it. But it's not terribly regular or well documented or well specified.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Ray, there's one more person on the queue, Carlos. If you hit *7 to unmute yourself and ask your question about the extensions of BioPortal or the ability to extend out of BioPortal.
That's basically my question. Is I'm interested in learning what way we can extend BioPortal in terms of branching the code or participating in the code base itself and things like that.
We've talked about this at some length with Peter and OR in general. I believe that the current approach, and I think the most desired approach, is not to fork the code and go off at some level and go off and create a new system. A preference would be to extend the system. And some things will be OR specific and will never get folded into the main system. We are open for folding changes that are contributed by users into the system. We've had no such contributions so far. we don't have a process in place for doing so, but when something comes up, we can put the sort of appropriate level of process in place. So we're open for folding things in that are sort of generically useful into the main distribution. As far as there will no doubt be OR things that, for whatever reason, should not go into the main distribution. Those things we imagine happening in sort of two fashions. On the UI side, we're hoping this mechanism that we have, BioPortal is currently, the UI is organized as a series of tabs, and by adding some additional tabs that have whatever functionality you'd like, you can extend the BioPortal UI. If there's features there that you do not want to expose to users, or you want to expose to users only in a modified way, then you can remove the standard tab and insert, say, something else that you've developed, say an extension of that tab or just an entire replacement of that tab. So on the UI, we're hoping that mechanism will deal with a lot of issues without forking the code and developing sort of an entire new branch of UI. On the back end, extensions will be possible much more so than today by sort of creating arbitrary information inside the RDF triple store or whatever other information you want on the back end, and then making it available through REST or whatever other mechanisms that you choose to do. So you can imagine adding your own relational database on the back end to store information, or if you store information, perhaps more likely in the triple store, and then you can provide REST interfaces for accessing that information, and then the UI would be able to access those REST interfaces as they do the standard BioPortal REST interfaces today, and would be able to serve up that additional information that you're storing, serve it up and display it in the web UI. So we're hoping that those two mechanisms, extensions on the back end, additional REST APIs, and then adding or removing tabs on the front end will allow people to extend the system for the sorts of things that we could think of immediately that you might want to do that seemed like it would do what we want. The only way to know for sure, though, is when OR is a little bit farther along, has actually tried to do some task, and we find out what the problems are, and then we can deal with them. The hope is that this mechanism will work, though. It's getting very close to 10. I can field one more question, and then I'm going to have to drop off, I'm afraid.
Okay. Well, Ray, I want to thank you very much and everyone who participated today. It was an excellent discussion and a very good idea of what's going on with BioPortal, so we can gauge what we need to do to help you out and vice versa. And I guess I have one last request, since you have to run out the door and not really a time for a question. Many people, or should I say some people, have run into issues with the VM distribution that's being provided. And I guess our request for you to consider is providing a distribution other than a virtual machine package.
At some point in the past, we had a distribution. Before we had the VM, we had some documentation on how to get the system running from the source. It turned out the commitment to keep that going was huge on our side to get people up to speed. So the hope was to get the VM, have the VM be that mechanism. I still have hopes that we can get the VMs that we're working with for OR to actually be up and going. Although I understand there continue to be a few problems, but let's plan on getting those worked out on the next week.
Okay. Well, Peter, I'll turn it back over to you then.
I guess that's it. And thanks, everyone. And join us at the next session. Watch out on the announcements. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks.
Yep.
Sure.
Thanks, Peter.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.